Hello, welcome again. Oh, I've got a message for you today you just won't want to miss. And of course you won't know that until you've listened to it, right? Fine. I hope you do. Let's say a little prayer before we get into this important message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to bring forth this message. It's my prayer, Lord, that those who listen to it, that their ears would be unstopped, Lord, and their hearts would be open and receptive to what is said here today. And Lord, when all is said and done, I pray, Lord, that if there's someone out there who doesn't really know for sure they are saved, that they will make that important decision this very day. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the name I've given to my message is Under Conviction. Under Conviction Again. Under Conviction Again. Now, you may have seen another one on this site earlier, some time ago, called Under Conviction. Well, this is Under Conviction Again. You see, we continue to be under conviction once we are saved, because the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth within us, well, He convicts us when we're traveling in the wrong direction. Okay, now, shortly after I got saved and had become a new recruit in the army of God, well, it was actually a very sad time in my life. Now, that might sound strange to you. Wait a minute, you're saying. Shouldn't that be a happy time when you come under conviction? Well, yes, it should be. Please continue to listen and we'll find out exactly what's going on here. You know, there was what some people have, and I guess unless immediately you are inspired by the indwelling Holy Spirit, unless that happens immediately. Sometimes we don't grasp onto His presence right away, and we may drag on a bit. We may kind of let time pass us by, as it were. But as soon as the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you have pledged allegiance to, who you have pledged allegiance to, Almighty God through Jesus Christ, then that's when the conviction really sets in, right? Sure it is, you know. God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell. Well, He sent the Holy Spirit to indwell me. I know that for sure. And I pray that if you're not absolutely certain that the Holy Spirit indwells you, well, that you'd make certain today. Would you do that? I pray you will. You know, for some people, like I said, conviction is not always instantaneous, you might say, but takes a little while. You know, it's like a lot of things. But the fact of the matter is, once you have repented and given your life over to Christ, you are saved. You are saved. Now, you may not feel like it right away, but you are. And the indwelling Holy Spirit will show you why and how it all came about. And you'll be glad you did. Oh, yes, you will be indeed. Now, mine was instantaneous. I have to use that word because it sounds like the good word to use here. Anyway, I immediately came under the indwelling Holy Spirit and the power thereof. And the things that I was doing that were sinful, that were not pleasing to God, I became convicted of them, and I didn't feel I wanted to be involved in them anymore, involved with them anymore, rather. You know, like having a little drink here and there, or maybe hanging out with the boys and, you know, hearing off-color jokes and that sort of thing. you know, all these things, you know, they seem to play on your mind and especially in your heart when the Holy Spirit indwells you. There's no room for all that sinful garbage in there once the Holy Spirit comes in. No, he just kind of, if you can picture this, when he moves in, that stuff starts moving out. Now, it might not happen like right away, but it does. Eventually, it does. You know, there I was anyway, under conviction again. Yeah. Now, you know, I want you to understand this. It's not some kind of hocus pocus, as some people would say, or a lapse of memory or anything like that. No. Although there were times, as I can proclaim myself, I had to step back and examine myself. Why? Well, to see if I really was in the faith, if I really was saved, if I really was under conviction. Yes, I had to be sure. And through much prayer, I was sure, all right. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone who gives their life over to Christ will have that same experience that I had. You know, even though you, if you truly are sincere when you give your life to Christ, you will be saved, like I was at that very moment. You repent and believe, you will be saved. But like I said, you may not understand or feel, and I don't want to imply it's a feeling, but you may not acknowledge the indwelling Holy Spirit for a little while. You may have to grow a little bit. That's all. That's all I have to say on that particular matter. I mean, although there still remains that old cliche, different strokes for different folks, well, I'm not saying there are several ways to Christ, because there's not. No, there's only one way to Jesus Christ. There's only one way, one salvation, one Savior. So now that we have that settled and out of the way, the issue ahead, well, it's of the utmost importance. You can't change it. In fact, you wouldn't want to change it. God is so good, so good. Do you have your King James Authorized 1611 Bible? Well, if you don't have it handy, that's fine. You can check out the scriptures I'm going to bring forth later on, and you can revamp or listen again to the sermon if you want to do so, or you can just write down, take some notes as we go along. Okay, now the first reference I want to make is in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, these are powerful words, really powerful, that God had John write. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now that's not too hard to understand, is it? When you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, well, you have him as your Savior. But you also have God the Father too. Okay, that's very important. In other words, if you deny Jesus and what he's done for you at Calvary, then you can't come to God the Father. It's just not possible. But if you believe in Jesus the Son, then you can come to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? That's great news indeed. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people right now walking around. Now, I pray you're not one of them, but you might be. Perhaps after this message is finished, you'll know whether you are or you are not. But there are quite a few people walking around who believe in God the Father. That seems to be a given to them. But they don't even want to hear about God the Son, Jesus Christ. How sad that is indeed. Hey, they're still lost if they don't. They're still lost. You can't go directly to God the Father and say, save me, God. No, You have to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son. He's the one that went to Calvary. He that hath the Son hath the Father also. Okay? That's the plain and simple truth. If you don't believe in Christ, then, well, here's the bad news. Then you're on your way to, excuse me, I hate to say the word even, you're on your way to hell. Verse 25, sweet as it can be, reads, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life, even eternal life. And if you look over in chapter 3, I love this one here. Behold, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't know Jesus, then you don't know the Father. It's that simple. Now, what we have established, or pardon me, now that we have established our relationship with God the Father and God the Son, it's time to realize the forgiving power that's only a heartbeat away. Yes, only a heartbeat away. Let's go to verse 3. 1 John 3, verse 3, which reads, and every man that hath this hope, what hope? The hope of eternal life. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as Jesus Christ is pure. Yeah. And then over in verse 5, we read, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. That's what he did at Calvary, right? And in him is no sin. Of course. Well, he's the sinless one, right? Jesus is the sinless one. And it gets better. It gets better as we go along. Verse 6. Verse 6. Now, this you really, really must hear. So please listen carefully. Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, what's the Word of God saying here? Is that confusing? Well, is there a contradiction? Well, of course not. Let's break it down, okay? Okay, go back to the beginning, verse 6. Okay, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Okay? Okay, we'll hold right there, because this simply means, now listen very carefully, this simply means to abide in Christ, to be saved, in other words, means we are under the blood. Under his blood, right? Okay, now, the blood, the atoning blood of the Son means that our redemption is complete. It's complete. Now, to illustrate, when Christ was on the cross, okay, visualize if you will, when Christ was on the cross, open your mind's eye for a second. A battered, bruised body covered with blood, redemptive blood, I might add. If you recall, God the Father brought 3 hours of darkness upon Calvary. Total blackness. Now, this was in the middle of the day. Do you know why? You know why he brought the darkness? Because God is so holy, and Christ was filled totally with the sin of the whole world. As holy as he is, God could not even look upon his own Son. So he brought the darkness so he could converse with his Son. He couldn't look at him because all he could see would be the sin, and he's too holy to look upon sin. until Jesus groaned those final three words, "It is finished. It is finished." And the atonement was complete. The Son and the Father could not become reconciled, be reunited, until this work, this holy, precious work was finished. The sin issue had to be dealt with first. Interesting. Now, look at verse 9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Wow. Hang in there now. "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Are you confused? I pray not. Keep listening. It's really very simple. Really it is, my friends. This is called the new birth. That's what we're talking about, right? This is why Christ took our place on that cruel cross, so that we could have communion with God the Father and be assured of eternal life. Dearly beloved, if you are truly saved, the line of communication with God the Father, it's always open. It's always open to you. You can come to the throne of grace. You can state your petitions before Him. He cares for you. He loves you. You are His sons and daughters through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. I like this line. "When the blood is applied, the sin is denied." When the blood is applied, the sin is denied. Wow. Now, it's important here. It's important that we are talking about the salvation of the soul, right? And not the weakness of the mind and the looseness of the tongue. Even the most convicted Christian will sometimes, under great duress, say or do something that would fall into the sin category, as long as we're in this old flesh. Although now, we are technically seated in the heavenlies, according to God's word. We are still in that flesh, this old flesh, or young flesh, whatever the case may be. And the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. Weak. However, because we are under the blood of our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, God can look upon us because God sees only the blood. He doesn't see the sin because He wouldn't be able to commune with you. He sees only the blood because you are part of His family now. Because you repented and believed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that God, who is omniscient in all things, doesn't know we are sinning. Because He does. God knows everything. Always did, always will. However, the sins of those who are, as I just alluded to, of those who are in Christ, are saved, are not sins unto death. You see? Unless you're saved, then your sin is unto death. And that means you go, you know where, to the lake of fire. For all eternity, by the way, not just for a short time, then you go off to heaven. No, it's eternal. Once you go to the lake of fire, that's it. That's it. It's all over. If we look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, here's what we read. "We know that whosoever is born of God," listen carefully to the next two words, "sinneth not." Sinneth not. Wow. "But he that is begotten of God," he that is begotten of God, "keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. In other words, the devil can't touch you. He can try to trip you up, but he can't. He can't. That old flesh, yeah, that old flesh which has to be changed before it can enter glory is still subject to sin. But technically, in the eyes of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be under the devil's commands, you know. You can't. Oh, you're going to make mistakes, but they're mistakes of the flesh, not of the soul. Because you belong to God. You belong to God. You believed in Jesus Christ, and you belong to God. Now, this may sound like a contradiction, but again, we must understand the blood effect. Once you're covered by the blood, that's it. Satan can't have you. Oh, he can kick around and try to interfere in certain things, but only the flesh. He cannot touch your soul. That belongs to God, and you will get your new bodies before you enter heaven's glory. It's all you got to understand. We must understand the effect of the blood, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, is our restraining force against sin. Now, what I'm talking about here is when we do sin, because we're still in these old bodies, well, in some cases young bodies, but we do sin from time to time, perhaps not great sins, but we're still in the sinful flesh, and we will make mistakes and sin from time to time. But, I won't say as long, because we are eternally already seated in the heavenlies, as I quoted before. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the restraining force against sin. We will recognize that sin, okay? If we say an improper word, or we do something that's not well in the eyes of God, well, see, we'll realize that. Why? Because we're under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we will pray. We will tell God we're sorry. You know, we can commune with God the Father because of the blood effect. That's so important, the blood effect. Yes, it is. When we receive Christ as our blessed Savior and are born again into the family of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then sin have no more dominion over us. Sin have no more dominion over us. That's so important that you understand that. No more. The next time you make a mistake and say or do something that's not pleasing to God, then remember this. It's not of the Spirit, but of the flesh. Of the flesh. And the flesh, well, the Word of God tells us the flesh is at enmity with God. It's against the things of God, right? Have you not heard the saying, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing? I think most everyone's heard that. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. We're talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our battle is with the flesh. Our soul is secure because of the shed blood of Christ at Calvary. But the flesh is still weak. The flesh is still weak. This is precisely why we will not stand before God in this old flesh or young flesh, depends on your age. But you see, when we are taken up in the rapture to meet Christ in the air, when we are taken up, oh, what a day that will be when we're taken up. The Bible tells us our bodies, now if we die before and go to the grave, well, our bodies will stay in the grave, but our soul goes to heaven immediately. But when the rapture comes, our bodies, which are in the grave, will be taken out of the grave to join our souls in glory, but our bodies will be changed like unto His glorious body. No more sinful flesh. No, that's gone. That's gone forever. We were taken up in the rapture to meet Christ in the air. The Bible says our bodies will be changed like His. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's so wonderful. And finally now, I heard it over and over and over again, and I'll probably hear it a few more times before I'm finished. How do we know if we are truly saved? People ask you that all the time. They'll say to me, "Are you saved?" I'll say, "Yes, I am." And they'll say, "Well, how do you know?" Well, I know through faith. I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I know that I repented and I gave my life over to Christ for what He did for me at Calvary. That's how I know. And you'll say, well, maybe you'll say, well, what kind of a proof do you have of that? I don't need proof. You see, by grace are we saved through faith. It's my faith that's the proof that the grace exists. Have you got that? Now, I suppose at one time or other, most of, if not all of us, may have doubted our salvation somewhere along the way. And especially when we seem to carry on with our regular lifestyle. You see, if we are truly saved, we take on a new lifestyle. We don't want to do those things. They may take time to diminish and go away altogether, but we'll know by the way we feel inside that the indwelling Holy Spirit is there saying, "No, you can't do that. No, that's wrong. You know it's wrong. Don't do it." And you pray to God the Father. He gives you the strength and the fortitude to fight off that evil that's trying to come upon you, that's trying to break your communion with God the Father. You see, if the devil can't have you, he's still going to try and make life miserable for you. He's going to try to break off your association with God so that you won't get any, or if any, blessings at all. That's what he'd try and do. He doesn't just walk away and say, "Oh, well, I guess I can't do anything." Well, oh, yes, he can. He's working overtime. He's working over now, I suppose at one time or other, like I said, We tend to doubt our salvation. Well, I don't anymore, but there were times early on that I did. I was wondering if I really was saved. But through time and prayer and dedication to the Word and, you know, and doing what I'm doing now, actually, I learned to understand that God is there and God is for me, and what Jesus did at the cross can never be erased or changed in any way. And I'm satisfied. I'm content with my salvation. I'm content. Well, like I say, the answer, well, it's pretty plain, I say. Plain and simple. And actually, it's found in Matthew 7:16. Matthew 7:16, okay? And that says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." It's repeated again in Matthew 20. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, not everyone that saith unto you, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. No, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Now, in 1 John 3:18, and I'm almost at the end of the message here. In 1 John 3:18, the test of belief is given. And it reads, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Verse 19, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." Shall assure our hearts before Him. Oh, I just love delivering this message. I pray that if you didn't quite get it all the way that you should understand it, that you'll listen to it again more slowly and stop and check the Scriptures, perhaps, and even say a little prayer, because God is great. What Jesus did at Calvary can never be reversed, and He can never do it again. Thank you for listening. I want to ask you now that you will continue to listen to this wonderful radio station, the blessed radio station at justjesusradio.com. Oh, the music is great too. I love the Southern Gospel. Oh, yes, I do. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.